So we are reading from Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. You can follow along in your bulletin, your Bible, or on the screens above. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, "Let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye," when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye.
So we're going to open up with a time of prayer here. But before we do that, I just want to give you a little bit of heads up. So my sermons are a little bit more interactive. I ask questions. Occasionally, I'll move into the audience. And so I just wanted to give you a little bit of a warning, a little bit of heads up about that. So I would love it if you all would participate with me. But if you just want to sit back, that's okay too. I talk to myself a lot. So if you don't, you know, talk back to me, that's fine. It'll just be like at home. So no big deal. But let's open up with prayer before we start here. Gracious Lord and Creator, I want to thank you for today. Thank you that we have this amazing opportunity to come worship you. God, I want to thank you for the revelation you give us of your word, for all the truths we can dive into and just learn more about. And God, we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be a pleasing offering to you, our rock and our salvation. Amen. So confession time. I'm a big nerd. I love video games, reading comic books, watching superhero movies. And here's kind of the awesome thing. It's really cool to be a nerd right now. Yeah, it's super cool. If you doubt me, look at how much pop culture is catered to this demographic. There are so many movies, books, TV shows about sci-fi, superheroes, aliens. It's like my dream come true. And I think what really kind of kicked off this trend were the Marvel movies. Any Marvel fans out there? Anyone seen those movies? Got a couple out there, good deal. For those of you who aren't familiar, the Marvel films are the ones that feature superheroes like Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk, Thor, Guardians of the Galaxy. They've put out something like 23 films in the past 12 years. In the Marvel movies, they feature a lot of similar tropes and set pieces like excellent action, witty dialogue, good character development. But the one thing they're in particularly known for comes at the very end of the movie during the credits. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah, they have end credit scenes, right? They have scenes after the movie is over. And it's a pretty well-known fact for people who are going to watch these movies. So earlier this week, I saw the newest Marvel movie, Spider-Man Far From Home. The credits start to roll, and the people in front of me go, "Well, I guess the movie's over. It's time to go home." And I think to myself, what are you all doing? Like, there's still more of the movie. Don't leave yet. There's still more scenes to be saw. So I get a little passionate about Marvel. And there are, of course, two additional scenes in the credits, which added a lot to the movie. These people, they missed out on a lot of interesting and important details because they left early. They didn't stick around for the end. And it's a shame to leave when there's still more material. It's a shame to leave when there's still more to be seen. And I think we do this with the Bible a lot. We don't stick around for the end of passages. And it's a shame because we miss out on some really crucial information. And I see this problem especially with this scripture. A lot of people read these first three words, "Do not judge," and they go, "Ah, Jesus never wants me to judge or correct or assess another person's lifestyle. We should just let people live however they want. I'll do my thing, they'll do their thing, and we won't bother one another." This is the modern interpretation of this passage, and I think it's the common interpretation because people don't stick around for the end of these verses. They see this first phrase, "Do not judge," and that's it. They're done. They don't even finish reading the sentence they're in. They leave the scripture passage, and they don't see the end of it. But when we read this entire section of scripture, we understand that this interpretation that we should never correct another's lifestyle, it's actually a wrong interpretation. You see, this passage occurs in a section of scripture commonly called the Sermon on the Mount. And in these chapters, Jesus judges, he corrects a lot of wrong behavior. He says, "Hey, you shouldn't have any hate in your heart. He says, you even look at someone with lust, that's a problem. He says, this whole idea of storing up for yourselves treasures here on earth, well, that's foolish. That's not the way you should live. So this interpretation, it doesn't make a lot of sense because Jesus just spent a lot of time correcting people's behavior. Additionally, right after this phrase, Jesus goes to list how we're supposed to judge or correct other people. It would seem really weird for Jesus to say, hey, don't ever do this thing. Like, never under any circumstances do this. But if you were gonna do it, here's the best way to do it. Like, that seems really silly for Jesus to say that. Additionally, logic tells us that the modern interpretation of this passage just can't be correct. If I say to you, do not judge, with the modern implication, with the common interpretation, that you shouldn't assess or correct another person's lifestyle, then what I've done is created a self-defeating phrase. Because I'm saying, hey, you shouldn't judge someone else's behavior, but what am I doing to you when I say that? I'm judging your behavior. I'm doing the very thing I told you not to do. And finally, if someone has something in their life that's hurting them, like, shouldn't we want to help them? Shouldn't we want to make their lives better? Isn't that part of what loving our neighbor is all about? A whole and healthy life requires correction. We need other people to help us realize our mistakes, and hopefully we should want to help other people in that way too. When we look at this section of Scripture as a whole, what we see is that this passage isn't a call to hands-off or apathetic approach to our relationship with others. Instead, it's a guideline to correcting behavior in a healthy way. This passage isn't an apathetic approach to our relationship with others. Instead, it's a guideline to correcting behavior in a healthy way. So according to Jesus, what does correction look like? Well, let's go a little deeper in this passage here and see. He says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And when the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So the first truth Jesus establishes is that we should hold ourselves to the same standards we hold others to. The same measures or guidelines we use for our family, our friends, our neighbors, our strangers, those are the things we should apply to ourselves. If you expect others not to gossip about you, don't gossip about others. If you expect others to be nice, then be nice to other people. If you expect your spouse not to eat all your french fries after they said they're only going to get a salad, then don't eat all your spouse's french fries. Some of you seem to have firsthand experience with that. Jesus' words, they seem like common sense, but they're actually really hard to follow sometimes. We make up reasons why it's okay if we do something, but it's not okay if that person over there does the exact same thing. And if you want the real psychological reason why we do this, it's because we often judge ourselves based on our intentions or feelings, and we judge other people based on their actions. We say about ourselves when we gossip, well, I didn't mean to hurt that person. It wasn't my intention to cause them harm, so it was okay I did it in this circumstance. Or when we lash out in cruel words, we'll say, well, I was just stressed, I was tired, that's why I did it. I just wasn't feeling like my normal self. We can justify when we do bad things because the standard we use on ourselves is our intentions, our feelings. But for other people, the standard we often use for them is their actions, their end results. When someone gossips, we say, I don't really care what they intended. I don't really care what they felt like. The fact is they gossiped, and that was wrong. When other people lash out with cruel words, we say, I don't really care, you know, that they're feeling tired or stressed. The fact is they did it, and that is wrong. And this can lead us to holding ourselves to a more lax standard. And Jesus goes, no. That's not how it should be. You're accountable to the same rules you set up for other people. So to sum up, the first truth, apply the same standards to ourselves as we use on others. Let's read a little bit farther to see other truths Jesus gives us in this passage. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your friend's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your friend, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So Jesus moves into this analogy about planks and specks. And when Jesus is talking about specks, he's probably talking about what's left over after you cut up some wood, some sawdust, maybe something that looks a little bit like this. And when Jesus is talking about a plank, that's just a fancy word for board, right? Something that looks a little bit more like this. And hopefully, seeing these two things together, you can kind of see the difference Jesus is getting at. And if you can't see the difference, it might be time to make a new eyeglasses prescription. But you see that, you know, this right here, there are hundreds of thousands of these little pieces of wood in this bowl. And I'll try and pull one out individually. It's real small. But those of you sitting in the back probably can't even see this, what I'm holding up. It's small, it's hardly noticeable. Whereas this, it's pretty obvious. You can see it from pretty far away. And the difference between these two things is night and day. And the fact is that if I had this board right here, and I had it in my eye like this, obviously, it's gonna be pretty hard to see, right? Gonna have some trouble with that. But I wanna show you something else. I'm gonna come into the audience for this. We'll follow me with the camera here, making Jordan's life hard. So if I have this board right here, and I'm gonna use Tom here. This is Tom. So he's one of our teachers. So if I have this board right here, and I go, Tom, I see you got something in your eye. Let me get it out. What's gonna happen when I try and get it out of his eye? I'm gonna hit him with this board, right? And I'm gonna hit everyone else around them with this board. It'll be like the Three Stooges. You know, the fact is that if I got something like this in my eye, I'm gonna hurt the people I'm trying to help. One, because I can't see, and two, because I'm gonna be hitting him with this board. And kind of the illustration Jesus is using here is that this is all the personal pain, all the sin in our lives. And if we have something big in our life like this, we're gonna hurt the people we're trying to help. And so what we gotta do is we gotta get these big issues out of our life before we go and start correcting other people. And of course, none of us are ever gonna be perfect. We're all gonna have things in our life, we're always gonna have struggles and personal sins, but we wanna ensure that we don't have something so big that it's gonna hurt the very people we're trying to correct. So the second truth we see is that we should get ourselves right, get these boards out of our life before we start correcting those around us. So the third truth, we need to be close to someone to correct them. What I love about this analogy is that Jesus picks a problem you would only notice if you were near to someone. There are a lot of things he could have picked which I can see from far away. Someone has two broken legs, I can see that real easy from here. Someone's got like a huge gash on their arm and they're bleeding profusely, I can see that from here. Another big problem someone might have that I can see from far away, they're wearing a New England Patriots jersey. And that's a big problem. You should help your neighbors with that. Correct them in a gentle way. But Jesus picks something where you have to be near to notice and close to correct the problem. He talks about someone struggling with a speck of sawdust in their eye. You can't see or correct that problem if you're far away. If someone in the back row had one of those in their eyes, I wouldn't be able to see it from here. It's only if I were to get close to them, to really get near to them, that I could see the problem and I'd be able to help them with it. And I think that's a good model for us correcting other people. We can't really see what's going on in someone's life if we're far away. It's only when we take the time to get to know someone, to really get close to them, that we can understand what's going on in their lives, and that we can effectively help them deal with what's happening. We shouldn't lob criticism from far away or from behind a keyboard. We should get close to people so that we can help them. There's one final truth I want to look at from this passage, and that's correction should be done with sensitivity. So all of us have had the unfortunate experience of getting some dirt or dust in our eyes. It's not the most fun thing. And it can be really hard to get these things out of our eyes because our eyes are very sensitive, right? You touch them the wrong way, it really hurts. Our eyes are some of the most delicate parts of our body, so we need to be careful of them. So imagine for one second, I say, hey, I see you guys, you got a problem with your eyes, you got something in there, and I have got just the thing to get it out. I have brought a special tool to help us here. All right, who's ready for me to get this dirt out of your eyes? You would hopefully say, Keith, like, get away from me. Like, I'm good. I'll take care of this problem on my own, right? This is me not really caring about your well-being. This is me using a blunt instrument for a delicate process. And I think, unfortunately, this is what we do sometimes when we go to correct people. We use blunt words, we use a blunt process for a very delicate process. We have to be careful in working to correct another's behavior. We shouldn't use words like this to try and correct other people. We should be sensitive, should really care about their well-being when we go and try and help them. There's a quote I want to end my sermon on, which I think really illustrates kind of what we talked about here today. It says this, "Correction without love is certain cruelty, but just as cruel is love without correction." Correction without love is cruel, but just as cruel is love without correction. So we correct, let's hold ourselves to the same standards we apply to others. Let's make sure we don't have any major issues in our life, and let's be near and sensitive to those we're trying to help. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious Lord and Creator, we want to thank you that you didn't just lob criticism at us. You didn't just say, do better. You didn't just give us instructions from far away. But God, you came down in human form to tell us what we needed to hear. God, you were near to us, and you were very sensitive to correct our problems that we have. And God, we thank you that even when we mess up, even when we make mistakes, even when we get these boards in our eyes, you are still there for us. You're there to help us, to move us forward, and to correct us in a loving and gentle way. And so God, we ask that if there is anything in our life that needs correction, that you would help us do that, you'd help us move forward. And God, let us be your instruments so that if we see other people who are struggling, we see other people that are in pain, God, you would make it so we can help them, that we can love our neighbor and we can love you. We thank you so much that you're God who hears our prayers. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.